All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April 15th, 2026. It is tax day. Hopefully you've turned in your taxes, or at least will by midnight. Listen to me all pumped up, all excited about taxes because I got money back. I'm winning. What a stressful, stressful time that was. I'm so grateful. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to come up and do the podcast. I want to get back into it. I'm back into it. I don't know if I ever announced this, but, and I don't know, it's probably about six podcasts ago, but I reached number 500. I don't know if I mentioned that in the podcast, but I've done 505 episodes of the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. Man, I must really be sorry about last night, right? I had no goal. I have no goal. I will do this until I can't do it anymore, and then I'll just stop. We'll all go back to our normal lives, right? But 505 episodes now, I think it's been, maybe 5-6. One, I can't believe it, right? I can't believe I've done this 506 times. Two, the evolution of me in this podcast. I've listened to a few in the past, very messy. I'm not sure these are any better, but I've definitely evolved, and that's always fun. And so, yeah, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you do, I appreciate it. I don't know how many people listen. I don't make any money. I just sit up here and do the podcast, and if someone listens, I appreciate it. But, yeah, and I also wanted to say I shared in the podcast the other day that one of the things that I read, which was, I thought, Providence will present, and it was actually Providence will provide. I think it's sort of the same thing, present opportunities, provide opportunities. I don't know, but it is written as Providence will provide. And I just want to make sure I got that straight. Yeah, I still love it. I still love that I read that. I still love what it means to me. And, you know, I'm at a point in my life where everything is just going just fine, right? Everything is terrific. My life is good. My work is good. My kids are good. My house is good. My recovery is good. Not perfect, but, you know, everything is good. My dishes are clean. My bed is made. And my clothes are put away. And I've become used to that, right? This has become a habit of mine. I'm grateful for it. And doing all of these things, what does it make? Peace. Peace in my life is what it makes. When I can walk into my kitchen and there are no dishes, when I walk into my room and there are no dirty clothes, everything is taken care of. And that was one of the first lessons I ever learned coming into recovery. Take care of your shit right away, right? I shared about going to the mailbox, you know, put your clothes away, you know, put the shopping carts away, tidy up your life. And I started doing that early and it's become a habit. And for that, I have peace in my life. A buddy of mine who I've shared about, he will remain nameless, but he's a good guy, and he's going through a divorce, and, you know, he reminds me of myself 20 years ago, and, you know, his life's sort of falling apart. I don't know how much he drinks. I know he does drink, but I wouldn't probably, unless he does it completely when I'm not around. But, you know, he'll have a couple beers and stuff. So I'm not sure alcohol is his problem. But he definitely has gotten to a place in his life where it's all unraveling. And I feel bad for him. And he called me. He's like, can you come get my irrigation system running? You know, because, you know, he had to shut it down for the winter. And I said, yeah. I went over there and got it going. It was on. And then he calls me. He's like, hey, can you come over here because it's, something's not running right. The back isn't coming on. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I got up this morning, you know, spring is in the air. I was off today. I had a lot of things I wanted to do. My neighbor wanted his lawn cut. I needed to cut my own lawn. I had to buy a new lawnmower. I just had a lot of different things. Putzing around is what we call it. I was doing a lot of putzing around and I got the things that I wanted to get done. And he came and picked me up, took me out to lunch, which was delicious. And then we went and checked out the project and, you know, dug it up. And I don't know if whoever had blown the system out, but they blew the pipe apart. So we went to Lowe's and bought some pipe, and I fixed it, right? At one point, I'm like, can I wash my hands? I went into his house, and his kitchen was a disaster. Just like my kitchen was 20 years ago. The sink full of dishes, just a real mess. And I'm sure with a half hour, 45 minutes of attention, he could get that all back into shape. But that's the kind of shit, right? That's the kind of shit that wears us out, wears me out, right? Just like going to pay the bill, checking the mail every day, check the mail every day. If there's a bill, pay it right away. Don't let that bill have any more power than it should. And it's just like the dishes and the kitchen and the laundry and making the bed. All of these things become too much. And I try, we got it all fixed. He was happy. He dropped me off. He's like, let me know what I can do to repay you. And I said, you know what you can do? You can go clean your kitchen. Right? You need to, because he's in a place in his life where it just feels like everything is lost. And I told him, I said, man, it's not the shocking part is losing everything. The shocking part is how we react.
I'm gonna rid myself a house in the shade of the freeway. Gonna pack my lunch in the morning and go to work each day. And when the evening rolls around, I'll go on home and lay my body down. And when the morning light comes streaming in, I'll get up and do it again. Amen. Say it again. Amen. I wanna know what became of the changes we waited for love to bring. Were they only the fitful dreams of some greater awakening? I've been aware of the time going by. They say in the end, it's the wink of an eye. And when the morning light comes streaming in, you'll get up and do it again. Amen. Caught between the longing for love and the struggle for the legal tender. Sirens sing and the church bells ring and the junk man pounds his fender.
The Pretender, Jackson Browne. Great song, great artist, right? The Pretender, right? That's what someone told me. Fake it till you make it. Act like you know what you're doing. It's crazy. It is crazy. But I'm rooting for my buddy. He is lost, and he's young, and he's really been put through the ringer with this divorce, and I really feel bad for him. But, it's no reason. It may seem like a reason. There is a side of me that would love to hear that, because that's a great reason to throw it all away. Fuck it. But the problem is when the fuck it's wear off and we finally come to our senses, we don't want to dig ourselves out of a deeper hole, right? He's talked about, not paying the mortgage, walking away, filing for bankruptcy, all of these different things. And I said, you just need that line in the sand, man. You just need to be able to put the line in the sand so you can step over and start building. But right now, he's just clawing and clawing downward and downward. And, it's tough. I hope he's not drinking a lot. But yeah, I just want to come up. That's what I've been doing this morning, helping him out, being of service. It is springish out. I have cut the grass. I've been very active this morning. I power washed the deck. It is pollen season, so our back deck is green. And unfortunately, it tracks into the house and stuff. So I just went out there and power washed it this morning at 8 o'clock. And I've just been doing a bunch of stuff. I love this time of year. I do love the winter. I do love a good nap. I do love relaxing. But when the sun starts to come back up and the temperature rises, I love to be outside and doing things. I love to spend time in the garage. And so that's what I've been doing today, putzing around. And yeah. But, you know, I was thinking last night, I wanted to share a little bit. You know, I've March 31st, 1997 is the day that I got sober. And roughly 4 or so years later than that, actually, it was more than that. It was about 4 years, I drank. And the funny thing is that was probably in 2003. So that was 23 years ago, right? And so it's hard for me to remember exactly what brought me to the point where I decided drinking was a good idea. I mean, I have some memories, you know, I have the memories of why I stopped going to the meetings, you know, finding issues and then having the voice tell me, you know, I don't think meetings are necessary. But, you know, another series of events had happened prior to even that. You know, I'd love to sit here and say I walked into the program in March and I was on board. But, you know, there were several suggestions that were made to me early on in recovery that that I chose to ignore. And just the fact that I chose to ignore it shows me, looking back, that I was not ready for recovery. I was ready to be free of drink and enjoy all of the wonderful things that came with that, which was like, you know, getting to go to meetings, right? Becoming friends. You know, as soon as there's like this kind of this weird thing, but if you walk into an AA meeting and put your hand out, people are going to shake it and you're going to make friends with people. Not knowing your past, not knowing their past, it's almost like a fresh start. From this point on, we're friends and we won't pay attention to the past. But, you know, and it feels good, right? I didn't have any friends. I had people that I sold drugs to. I had people that I bought drugs from. I was friends with the guy that I bought liquor from. And then I had people that I had to associate with. But friends, I didn't have any. And so coming into the program, I made friends and you know, people wondered where I was. And you know, it's easy for me to look back and say I was doing everything I thought I was supposed to. But really, at the time, that was good enough. You know, coming into the program, I had no expectations. I wasn't sure what to expect. I just went with it. But suggestions were made. Don't get in any new relationships for the first year, which to me seemed ridiculous. Don't make any job changes in the first year. Don't do any major decisions in the first year. I did all of those things. Right? I changed positions in my job. I got a girlfriend, and I decided to go to college. Everything, every one of those three things on my and face value seemed like good things. The problem is I didn't understand the motivation or where I would be with these decisions later on, right? And of course, the first one, the relationship, right? I had dated many women prior to getting sober. But they all were a lot like me. They drank like me. They drug like me. They stayed up late at night like me. They didn't give a fuck like me. Those were the kind of people that I surrounded myself with. And at that level of drinking and partying, not many people could hang. And so, you know, I had, you know, and unfortunately, it's a rough group. And so when I came into the program and I figured the only reason I'm not having a great relationship in life is because I'm, drink too much. If I could just quit drinking, right, I could have a great relationship and have everything I've ever wanted. And so, of course, as soon as I got sober, the first thing I started to do when I got sober was go to the gym, right? I wasn't going to the gym. I was smoking. I was drinking. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was pretty gross. And the first thing I wanted to do was fix my physical appearance. So I joined the Y, I started doing spinning, I started losing weight, I started getting healthy, I started working out with friends that I had met in the program. My buddy James, who was, you know, a total rock in my life early on in recovery, him and I would go to the gym every day. We ran for years, bestest of friends, right? And because I, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm concerned about my health. No, I wanted to look better. I wanted to catch up. I wanted to finally be the person that I had always hoped, right? Physically fit, you know, sober, whatever. And so immediately going to the gym and working on myself and, you know, the dents popped out. I lost a bunch of weight. I started looking better. And then all of a sudden this guy's like, there's a girl at the gym that's interested in you. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my goodness. And she was a normal, right? She had a great job, very good job. Been to college, great family, beautiful car. I think she had a pager. I think she had a cell phone. I had none of those things. And I was like, yes. And I'm like, you know, of course I'm like, well, she's not going to like me. She did. And we started dating. And we were having a decent relationship. But the problem was is that I was so broken that I couldn't get over the fact that she liked me. There was just something was wrong. It had to be some confusion. Maybe she's blind. I don't know. But how could she like a guy like me? Because inside, the part that nobody saw, I was still terrible. I was still really very rough around the edges. On the outside, I was looking better. And that's the part that she liked. And we, you know, we had a decent relationship. But the problem is that I just couldn't figure out why she liked me. And so I became jealous and fearful. And I'm like, she's going to break up with me at any time. And, you know, I just became so toxic. She broke up with me, devastated me, right? And then I ended up meeting another girl who I would later, you know, get married to, right? But I'm like, you know, at the time, I'm like, you know, this is a nice girl. You know, I took her hostage. I've shared this before, and I didn't learn this until my buddy Matt told me he did the same thing. And then I was like, shit, that's exactly what I did. I took her hostage. Right, I took her and I started a relationship with her because I felt bad because the other girl had left. And she wasn't quite as pretty, right? And she was a little bit more my speed, and it made me feel better to have somebody in my life. And so, you know, and by the time I started to kind of feel free of the pain of the end of the last relationship, I sort of was committed to this one. Not fair. Very bad. You know, and we would later get married and have a child, and then I would drink. And she left, right? Good for her. I feel really bad about that. I should have never, ever, ever, ever gotten into that relationship. I mean, I'm grateful because I have an amazing son and you know, her and I have a decent friendship, I guess. I don't really speak with her, but, you know, if there was an issue, I'd help her out, of course. But yeah, and then, you know, I decided, and the job that I hated, I decided to go to college. And I'm trying to find meetings in New Jersey, and I'm just, you know, I just couldn't follow the directions because I was so self-centered, right? I didn't give a shit. My buddy Mike's like, you know, these are the things that lead people back to drinking. You know, you don't want to make any big decisions in your first year, no big relationships, no job changes, no, you know, college, all this stuff, all these big choices you've done, you want to avoid in the first year, probably in the first couple years. Because I didn't take the time to figure out who I was as a person. And, of course, you know, the marriage would end. I would drink and still struggle. You know, even after she left and getting sober, still struggling with the pain pills. But I didn't come for those, right? I'm not here for pain pills. They were prescribed. So in my self-centered mind, I'm like, that's fine. But none of this is allowing me to build a foundation into recovery, right? Into starting addressing my real issues, right? My 6 and 7, the 3, 4 and 5, you know, turning my will, all these things. I couldn't pay any attention to them because I was too busy serving self. And it wouldn't be until finally, right, finally changing that sobriety date in 2008 because of the pain pills that I finally started to be here for serenity. Serenity. Not just for recovery, not just for the friends, but for the actual serenity. And you know, it's been an amazing journey. I'm so, so grateful. And, you know, I see people around me that are struggling. And, you know, it's hard for me to pass on this kind of thinking because these people aren't. Providence has not provided them with the opportunity, right? Providence has been in a lot of these people's lives, but they don't understand, just like I didn't, that these are opportunities to make changes. But a lot of people just find them as a time to just put their head in the sand. And, you know, I'm riding with my buddy today, and you know, the irrigation issue that he has, I'm like, and he goes, this is because the people that installed this were assholes. And I go, no, this is happening because you ignored this 2.5 years ago. Because 2.5 years ago, this was the same problem, but he ignored it, right? And so the reality is, for a person in recovery like myself, you know, who has to find, take, you know, responsibility for the situation that I'm in, instead of trying to blame other people, he wants to blame other people. And I'm like, dude, you can't. You have to start taking responsibility for this. This is your fault. You know, if this was a problem when you, you know, he had a new house built, and so that they built the, they put the irrigation in, and it wasn't put in correctly. But, you know, when that happens, you have to call him, you know, in that first year and say, listen, there's an issue. But this is 3 years later, and he wants to blame this and that. I go, no, man, this is your fault. Well, you know, I was going through this, and I go, well, you call it whatever you want, man. But until, right, until we can become accountable, take responsibility for the problem and the reason why we're where we're at, we can't give it a name to fix it. All we can do is be a victim and play the blame game. And, you know, for regular people, I guess that's okay. You know, they don't, they want to live in that misery. I personally do not want to live in that misery. So I'm always about, like, what part of this is my fault? Mostly all of it. So, you know, but I see people, you know, they're blaming this and that and the economy and the Trump and Trump and everybody else's fault. And it's like, come on, you know. Yeah, maybe gas is Trump's fault. I don't know, but I don't know if we can take responsibility for that. Maybe I should drive less. I don't know. But the point is that it's hard when, you know, my serenity recovery life, you know, because like he says, look at you, man, you got no problems. You know, it's like, you know, when a person that's not in recovery and is living like that and their life is in a disarray, they look at you and they're like, man, you got it all together. And I go, no, I don't. I just, you know, I'm sober, right? I work a program. And for that, I'm grateful. But yeah, Providence will provide, not present. And, you know, like I told him, man, this is the time. This is, I go, it's not the fact that it's happening. It's how we handle it. And, you know, I said, you just need to finally get a line so you can step over and say, from this point forward, I'm moving up and I'm not digging down any longer. So, all right, let me see. Let me do the daily reflections. And I really liked that daily reflections the other day. That is the only challenge with this app, is that once I read it, it's gone. I can't go back and look at it for the day before. But that one I read the other day, it was really good, about self-pity. And, you know, that podcast helped me. All right. April 15th, 2026. The bondage of resentments. Ooh, this is going to be good. Harboring resentments is infinitely grave, for then we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. Whew. That's good. I might take a picture of that one. Let me try to take a picture of that. That's good. Yeah, that was good. Saved to photos. So it says, I'm going to read it one more time. Harboring resentments is infinitely grave, for then we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. It has been said, anger is a luxury I cannot afford. Does this suggest I ignore this human emotion? I believe not. Before I learned of the AA program, I was a slave to the behavior patterns of alcoholism. I was chained to negativity with no hope of cutting loose. The steps offered me an alternative. Step four was the beginning of the end of my bondage. Yep. The process of letting go started with an inventory. I needed not be frightened, for the previous steps assured me I was not alone. My higher power led me to this door and gave me the gift of choice. Today I can choose to open the door to freedom and rejoice in the sunlight of the steps as they cleanse the spirit within me. Yep. Yep. Very, very good. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's what step 4 and 5 is really about, you know, becoming accountable for our actions, right? How much part did I play in that? You know, I used to blame, you know, Mr. Jones, right? He was mad at the neighbor, and the neighbor had all this stuff, and he had nothing. He had a prettier wife, and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, it's sort of the same thing with that relationship early on when I came in. I wasn't a prepared person to be in a relationship like that, right? I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have any value to myself. I was just a broken human who had a few days sober. And unfortunately, you know, that's not enough. And it leads to wherever it leads. But anyway, I hope everyone is having a great day. I am enjoying the weather. I love spring. I'm grateful that the warmth is coming back. And yeah, I appreciate you listening. I hope everyone has a great day. Bye-bye.
Well, the veterans dream of the fight. Fast asleep at the traffic light. And the children solemnly wait for the ice cream vendor. Out into the cool of the evening strolls the pretender. He knows that all his hopes and dreams begin and end there. Of a girl who can show me what laughter means, and we'll fill in the missing colors in each other's paint by number dreams, and then we'll put our dark glasses on and we'll make love until our strength is gone. When the morning light comes get up and do it again. Get it up again. I'm gonna be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender. The pretender who started out so young and strong, only to surrender.